sorry, just keep on speaking a bit more.
Drag race is really good when you're stoned.
No, but just talk like how you would normally talk if we were doing the show.
This is how I talk when we do the show.
Okay.
This is how I talk when we do the show. Okay. I talk like this when we do the show. This is how I talk when we do the show.
Oh, we was really on a little vibe there, wasn't we?
You're listening to Cocktails and Confessions.
This episode is sponsored by Hot Octopus, the luxury sex toy brand who guarantee your mind-blowing pleasure.
How are you liking your White Claw?
It's quite nice. It's got quite a subtle flavour, I feel.
Yeah, do you know what? They're really mysterious because they'll say, it just says like, it will say, contains alcohol, but it doesn't tell you what.
And 95 calories.
Yeah.
We should get White Claw to sponsor us.
I would love White Claw to sponsor us.
Come and sponsor us, White Claw. We're sort of like, this is sort of marketed at like queers and ladies, right?
I mean, I can't really see a straight man walking around with like a can of seltzer.
Raspberry.
But it sounds quite much like White Claw.
Yeah. Is that supposed to be the name of the wave? Because that's the logo. I don't know why we're getting so deep into this. Mm. Made without compromise. I feel ya.
So it bloody should be.
Yeah. Why compromise on getting lit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Moving swiftly on.
I feel like you're so far away from me today.
I know.
Yeah, it's throwing me off a little bit, but we'll get there. Jones like miming.
Just trying to draw you to me.
Yeah.
It's like the Venus. Mime. What is it? Like the painting where they're touching the fingers. I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah.
The painting where they touch.
I know the painting from the Sistine Chapel.
Yes, that one.
Sistine. Oh.
Are you a Sistine?
I was too.
Now I'm a cis queen, I guess.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, so obviously you know like parts of the backstory of this, but like not really a lot. I just messaged you for like for translation into Portuguese the other day.
How to tell him that you needed to douche.
Yeah, and like to not be there when I was. That was more the issue.
Which for listeners at home is if you ever need to tell a Brazilian that you need to douche, you say, eu preciso fazer chocar.
Yeah, I don't know if they're gonna know like who talks anymore. How are they gonna spell that?
You could run it through Google Translate. It's got the audio function now.
You could just run "I need to douche" through Google Translate.
That's actually probably quite a good idea as well. Although I don't know if that would come through.
Maybe not. Well, it might be like a mistranslation. But
well, if you need help, you know what to do now.
So anyway, he wanted to come at the time that I was getting home and I was like, no, I need more time to get ready. Mm-hmm. And he was like, that's fine. I will wait in your flat. And I'm like, you're not going to wait in my flat. I don't get it. I don't get why somebody would want to wait in. If that was me and the guy was like, I need to douche, I'd be like, cool. I'll go to the pub for an hour.
Even if someone said, I just want to have a shower, I would feel a bit weird about waiting there. You know, where you sort of just like make yourself at home, watch their TV, but you don't know the person. So you're a bit like, in grandma's house, you know, don't touch anything.
Yeah, but also, like, I don't know you. I get out of the shower and, like, what?
Well, that thought did occur to me. I was like, you might get robbed.
100%.
If he knows that you're definitely going to be in there, like, emptying your booty hole, like, he could be, like, taking the TV out the back door.
That's what I mean. I don't have a back door, but there's
front door, window. Front door.
Barely have any windows. So you've been there. So, anyway, this was the second time that we'd met.
Where did you meet him online or had you met him in person?
Yeah, no, so we met online and then we met in person and then this was the second time that we were meeting in person. So just to give you like a little bit of a backstory, when he came around the first time, he was a bit late. I don't know where he'd come from, like maybe he'd ran from where he'd been from, but he turned up and he was super sweaty.
Okay.
So I wasn't like too bothered at first because I was like, okay, fine, we're gonna have the sex. The sex and everything was good and he was a really nice person and like we chatted a little bit and we got along. There was a couple things.
Okay.
Which as I feel like that as there always is. At least when I'm telling the story there is. So he was very sweaty and at the time that was fine. And then afterwards, I just felt like he's very, I felt like all of that sweat was all over me. But then he was like,
was it not in a hot way?
It was fine when we were having sex, but then when the sex was done and he just wanted to like put his arms around me and stuff, I was like, no, like you need to get in the fucking shower now.
Okay.
And I didn't really think that I was that kind of a person. I thought I was generally all right with stuff like that. But it was just, there was like between the sweat and the cum, like there was a lot like...
Was it like a slip and slide on
yeah,
the bed?
Yeah, I felt like I had to like cover my whole house in cling film. Do you know what I mean? It did, and I felt I feel like he messes my hair up for no reason.
What, like, he'll go like that?
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm just like, can you not?
Probably think, well, it's probably an affectionate thing.
Yeah.
Don't think he's doing it to wind you up.
No, I don't think so either, yeah. But it is. So then this second time, again, was fine. Like, the sex was good.
Did he come over and wait while you douched?
No, I was like, I would be more comfortable if you waited somewhere else.
Okay, so he agreed to that. That's good.
Yeah, yeah. He was like, I'll come at 6. I was like, okay, fine.
Finally, after all that back and forth.
I know, yeah. And then it ended up being like the quickest douche of my life. I was like, oh, 3 squats? I was like, and I'm done.
Ghost poo. Like.
So this is the thing. These were the main things, okay? So the first time he said like the 3 words that you probably shouldn't say to somebody when you first meet them.
Which are?
He was like, well, he said, maybe I love you.
Oh.
He like kissed me on the eye and then was like, when you kiss somebody on the eye in Brazil, it means maybe I love you. So I was like, okay.
Okay. Quite sweet, but a bit full on.
Yeah. Do you know what? I wasn't really taking it that seriously. Yeah. So I was like, okay, fine. He's just into me. That's cool. And then the second time he said the 3 words that you just probably should never say ever.
Which were?
All lives matter.
Oh.
Right. So then I'm like, sitting there, still got cum on me, having to explain systemic racism to somebody that barely speaks English.
Yeah.
Like, we mostly just communicate in emojis.
Oh, yeah, I could understand why that would be kind of a knackering.
I was just like, I know, you know, when you're like, I know he doesn't mean it, and I feel like he's not like, there's not racism in him, but I had to explain to him why that thought process was problematic.
Yeah.
And he was kind of like...
Also, for a Brazilian, is he a white Brazilian?
Yeah, like olive skin.
Yeah, but like, he's not black. He's not black Brazilian.
No.
So it's the it's essentially white privilege. He might be Brazilian or like Latin.
That's exactly what I said to him. I was like, you're speaking from a place of privilege. Yeah.
Because there's massive systemic racism in Brazil, and it's a big problem there.
Yeah.
The people you see on the TV are mostly like white Brazilians. Mm. He's not.
On the plus side, their president's in hospital.
Oh, yay. Thank God for that. Please die.
Please die.
Sorry, I don't care. Like, I very rarely wish death upon people, but Bolsonaro just needs to go.
Yeah.
I also noticed his stab wound was nowhere to be seen, so I reckon that was all a setup. Like, prior to his election, he got stabbed in the street.
What?
Yeah. And I think a lot of people think it was a setup to like garner sympathy, and because he recovered from this stabbing like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And so there's this photo of him like laying in the hospital topless, and everyone was like, onde a facada? Where's the stabbing?
Yeah.
So, see you in hell, Bolsonaro.
How funny would it be if the homophobes went to hell and so did the gays?
We're all down there like, oh, hi. How are you?
Yeah, it's like that.
We're all here now, so you might as well just fuck us like you always wanted to.
You know, like the meme of the, I think it's maybe from like Little Women or something. And they walk in, they're like, hi. Hi.
Yeah. And it's like there's that really ominous music. It's like,
yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Hi. So will you see him again?
Maybe. Yeah, I think. Like it's.
Did he say he was going back to Brazil soon though?
Yeah, he is.
Where did he? Did you find out where he actually lives? Where his house is? Because you said paella.
Paella, yeah. I was like, oh, sounds delicious.
Never heard of it, but I think it might have been Paraíba.
Paella, he said to me. It said it begins with a B, not a P.
Oh, okay. Don't know it.
No, but yeah, no. He's going back to Brazil next month, but.
And if it's someone that would you see yourself just hanging out, wanting to hang out with him?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know. It's difficult because of the language barrier. Yeah,
that is a hard thing.
And like sometimes I was cracking these like banging jokes and I was like, oh, falling on deaf ears.
It is like with stuff like that, I guess it's just part and parcel of dating someone who speaks a different language.
Yeah.
But you learn, like, you do learn. So like when I'm abroad, sometimes I do, it can feel a little bit like isolating at times because you think to yourself, oh, if I, it's the same experience that immigrants have when they come to the UK, which is like, do you know how funny I am? Do you know how intelligent I am? No, because I can't express it.
Sure.
So you do just become, and you sort of feel a bit othered, which is the immigrant experience for the people that come to the English-speaking countries. Well, to immigrate anywhere. So it's a hard thing.
Yeah, definitely.
100%. But if you do date someone who speaks a foreign language, I think you do fall into, like, you start, learn. There's a lot of, like, non-visual, like, non-verbal cues, visual humour and stuff like that. Plus, you get the benefit of starting to learn a second language.
Totally, yeah. I mean, he speaks, like, four languages.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I just don't know. Like, he was cute and he was a nice guy and it was fun. I'll see him again. I think he was just almost, like, he just wanted me a bit too much. Do you know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah, terrible.
Yeah. And I love it when a guy wants me too much, but I'm just like, no, actually, like, can we just, like, we've...
It's flattering, but I've been in a situation before. Oddly, this was with a Brazilian guy as well, who I slept with a couple of times, had a nice time. And then he went on holiday and sent me a postcard while he was there. I still can't remember if I gave him my address, but anyway, I must have done for him to come and meet me. But I got this postcard that said, I'm counting the hours, that the days, the hours, the minutes and the seconds before I can come home and see you. And I was a bit like, this is really sweet, but it's really heavy as well. This is a little bit overwrought.
I mean, it's a fucking postcard.
Yeah.
Might as well move in together.
I do. Again, though, it's probably a question of like a slight, not language barrier, because this guy spoke pretty good English, but it's just the level of intensity. Like you might not know that that's a slightly intense thing to say in another language, whereas you probably wouldn't say something as strong in your own language.
Yeah, sure.
So, but it's flat. Yeah, it's flattering. It's nice to be wanted.
I did feel quite comfortable around him though, just considering I'd only met him twice.
Oh, that's a good sign.
Yeah. I think you can get quite comfortable like that when you know somebody likes you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're going to talk a bit more about taking off our masks.
Yeah.
In a moment. What do you have to divulge this week?
Well, I'm just getting ready. I've actually booked off most of next week to go out and get absolutely rat-arsed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I'm going out, like, obviously the restrictions are lifted, which we're going to talk about later, but restrictions are lifting. So I plan to go out on Wednesday night and just not come back.
Where are you going to go, though?
So on Wednesday night, I'm going to go out in Soho. Okay. I'm going to go to Bombshell because it's the first Bombshell back now. Lady Lloyd running the show because I think they did their last Sunday at Kubar. So going to go down there.
And where is it now? Still at Kubar?
I think so. I'm not sure.
Okay.
So I'm looking forward to that. So come along if you're about. Be fun.
Well, I'll definitely. I feel like you're doing like your little pilgrimage of like getting fucked up, and I'm like, I'll meet you at base 36, and I'll just like I'll meet you along the way and I'll join you for a night and then I'll disappear.
It's probably best to meet me at the start anyway as well, because otherwise, like, if I'm hoping to end up in a cab to someone's house afterwards, and then another cab to another party, and then another party, and then right. By Saturday, like, die a little bit and then have a disco nap and go out that night.
Oh, wow. So you've really thought this through.
Yeah, I think it's because I've got a little bit. This is going to go into what we're meant to talk about masks.
But go for it.
I have a bit of anxiety around like the whole release of restrictions, mm-hmm. And I figure the best way to push through it is just to go for it. Because otherwise, I know what I'm like. I can get a bit. I think lockdown made me a bit anxious again.
Agoraphobic.
Yeah, not so much agoraphobic, but just like I think I've talked about having a bit of like a crowd. Thing. I get a bit nervous in really big crowds.
That's agoraphobia.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Literally the definition of agoraphobia.
Oh, okay. And I reached something of like a personal milestone by going to like Carnival in Brazil and feeling absolutely fine and being like, wow, if I can do this, then I can. I'm pretty much in a good place with it.
Oh, so you have this anyway, regardless of the pandemic?
Yeah. It's something that's like on and off bothered me for a long time, but I've always sort of pushed myself. That was the whole point. Like I would travel alone, push myself to do things so that I could get through my anxieties. That's how I get through them, is to just force myself into situations.
Yeah, sure.
And then lockdown happened and we were so cut off from everyone. It was a bit like, oh, some of those the anxiety surrounding like big crowds and stuff like that have come back.
Yeah, sure.
So I just think the best way to get through it is to just jump straight into it.
Yeah. I just also like, you're not going to die, babe. If you get coronavirus, you're not going to die. Mm. I know you don't want to have to isolate, but...
It's not... Do you know what? It's not so much a fear of COVID. It's just seeing like my fear response go up a bit when I'm like surrounded by more people than I've been surrounded with in a long time.
Okay.
It's why I used to like DJing so much, is because I can be in a club full of people, but I get to be in the booth and I'm slightly cut off of that.
Yeah,
so I get to enjoy the like feeling, and also I love DJing, I love the music, and I love seeing people respond to it.
Yeah.
But I have that sort of level of security.
Yeah, sure.
And that was quite like, that's why I really enjoyed it. Whereas like with Sex Shells, I used to find it very difficult. Like before the show, everyone would go out and mingle with like all the people that come to see the show, and then afterwards they go out and like get their applause and acclaim and everything, and I'd be like, I just want to go home. Like
Oh, really? Yeah.
I found it too stressful to have too many people all around me. And even though they were saying lovely things, they'd be like, oh, we really enjoyed your show. And
yeah,
they like, it's just the relentless thing of like so many people trying to talk to you at the same time, or they're just being too much stimulus would stress me out.
Yeah, sure. So, I understand that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think, I mean, listen, I'm never going to sit here and encourage you to not go out. Mm. That's 100% not my vibe, but go out. All the time. not all the time, but yeah, if I'm never going to encourage somebody to stay indoors when they could be out socializing.
Yeah,
it's always going to be better for you.
Yeah, I think I'm good at socializing in a big group in an outdoor space. Like I love a big like park get together or that kind of thing. It's being like in an enclosed space, especially somewhere as tightly packed as a club, I think it's going to be a real learning experience to go through that again.
Yeah, well, also, I do feel like nobody really knows what's on the cards and what's in the future. So maybe just take this opportunity while you can. Because
exactly. Because I feel like with our case levels going through the roof again, it might not be long before we all get shut up for the winter.
Who knows, mate? I'm stocking up on orgies. No, I'm not really.
Orgies. Such hard work.
Yeah, kind of. I don't know. Yeah, we've spoken about this so many times.
It's well trodden ground, I feel.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, baseline, we ain't doing that shit unless we're off our tits and we don't do drugs anymore. So obviously on Monday we are meant to be getting our masks off.
Yes.
And I couldn't help but wonder. No, but obviously it got me thinking about like masks metaphorically as well. Because we're going to take our physical masks off and then people are still going to be wearing some kind of a mask.
Yeah.
And I just find this like so interesting, especially, do you know what it was? After I watched this week's All Stars Drag Race.
Yeah.
I found it interesting because Jan was giving me kind of like Laganja vibes.
I get that. That kind of very affected or overzealous way of presenting yourself.
Yeah, 100%. And it's like Michelle said to Laganja at the time when she did it. It was like, look, we all do that, but you have to like have a time and have a place for that and then be able to be vulnerable too.
Yeah.
And when Jan was like, yeah, but me being 110%, she's like, that is part of my personality. And then when it cut to her confessional, she was like, I just don't know what they want. And I'm like, this is what they want. They want to see you like crying. And like, if she just sat there, and I can't remember what their topic was specifically. Was Jan on the mother's one?
I think it was the motherhood one. Yeah.
Okay, well, you know, even if she had said like,
no, it wasn't, it was the body image one, because she was talking about how,
oh,
because Ginger Minge was talking about how she'd had the bowel obstruction that made her fat, and then
Jan had put weight on during lockdown, wasn't it? Yeah,
but it didn't really scratch the surface, whereas the other two were being quite vulnerable about it, you know, and talking honestly about how it affected them. Mm. Jan was sort of like, it was that kind of rigid, everything's okay. Like, I gained a little bit of weight during lockdown and I'm absolutely fine with it. No, don't worry about me. Like, you know, that kind of facade.
Yeah, well, also like, oh, I gained a bit of weight in lockdown, but like, not
a real enough
dig
into the psyche.
No, because she still wants people to like her.
Yeah.
And she still wants to be entertaining. And I think when there's the pressure to be entertaining, you lose that vulnerability because you want to be likable and everything, and it's...
And she wants to present perfection, and she chose something that could be like the least imperfect imperfection that she could have chosen was like, I gained a little bit of weight during lockdown, but I'm okay with it. Although, granted, that's probably something that would bother most people, but it wasn't something as open and honest as like getting old, like Pandora was talking about, or Ginger saying, you know, like, I had a medical problem. I used to be really thin and I start getting 10 pounds a week and now I'm a fat person.
And it's like, that's interesting. That's eye-opening to listen to, because what she said about when you see a fat person, you just assume that they don't stop eating is true.
Yeah.
That is like the common sort of
It's the narrative that's fed to you as well. And like with diet culture. Yeah. With diet culture and everything like that, it's all just like, you know, you see all those ads for things like Jane Plan and Weight Watchers, and it's like, we portion control your meals so that you can get the body you want. And the implicit message there is sort of like,
stop eating, you fat cunt.
Yeah, you did this to yourself, fatty. Like, you know, put down the fork. And that's not always the case. Like with Ginger, it was a medical thing.
Mm-hmm, totally, yeah. And I just think, yeah, with Jan, I understand it completely, because it is hard to do. And I think it's especially hard to do when you know you've got an audience.
Yeah.
And I think even on like this podcast and stuff, you know, sometimes I will want it to be entertaining for the listeners. And when you're doing like stand-up comedy, you obviously kind of have to put on a bit of a facade to do that.
Yeah.
But the goal of that is obviously just to be as funny as possible from start to finish.
Yeah. Even if you're being vulnerable on stage with like stand-up, you can tell like a real story, but it has to have like a punchline somewhere in there. You can't just lay it all out there and then be like, yeah, what do you think?
Is that in group therapy?
Yeah.
Bitch?
It's not a TED talk. No.
Well, exactly. So what are kind of times when you feel like you wear a mask, and what do you wear it for?
I generally feel like humor tends to be a big mask for me. I think growing up being small and kind of generally a bit like not like a small person and like the gay person and stuff like that, you're already at a bit of a disadvantage.
Don't forget Ginger.
And that as well. I'm kind of on the back foot there. So I was like, right, people have got to find I've got to find a reason that people want to have me around. And that's to be as funny as possible.
Sure.
And particularly when I was younger, it was a nastier sense of humor. I think there was a lot. I think it was a case of getting in there to be mean funny before anyone else could be mean funny about me. Almost to show people, don't fuck with me.
Okay, yeah.
Like, I will cut you to the quick with my tongue. So, you know, like you just put the self-defense down there first.
Yeah.
And as I've gotten older, I've mellowed out with that. Like, I certainly don't have that kind of like sharp streak that I used to.
Sure.
But I do definitely, as much as humor is just part of my personality as well, I like to laugh. I like to make other people laugh. I do sometimes choose being the funny person over being a bit more emotionally vulnerable with people.
Totally, I do the same thing, so yeah. I understand. But like, what kind of situations would you say that you use that in?
Just if I feel embarrassed or rejected, I think we talked about rejection the other day, or if I feel like something hasn't gone right for me, I can be quite a proud person. I find it very difficult to admit when I've failed at something or when I need help. I really, really suck at asking for help. I'm very like, I need to be independent. I don't need to rely on anyone.
Yeah.
So then if people are like, how are you? Or like, if something's not going well for me, I can just be like, oh, you know, want to die, but everything's great. You know, that kind of thing.
Sure.
I'll take the darkness and just spin it into like a funny thing. So that it almost gives the illusion of giving people some vulnerability.
Yeah,
like they
okay.
think you're being an open book by sort of taking your inner trauma or your turmoil and making a joke out of it.
Yeah, because I mean, it's not like you're trying to hide it or anything.
Yeah.
You're still presenting
it. It's almost like hiding in plain sight.
Yeah.
You make a joke of it and it's sort of like people feel like you're being an open book and telling them about your vulnerabilities, but you're dealing with it.
And what do you think it is you are afraid of about being vulnerable to other people?
Becoming exposed to other people. It sort of like leaves you vulnerable to being hurt more.
Yeah, of course.
Like, I had a rough time of it growing up. Obviously, we've talked about this at length. Like, I lost my dad. So I do have issues about becoming attached to people and then them sort of disappearing or leaving my life. I struggled with friendships as well because I was the only gay kid in a Catholic school. So anyone who was friends with me immediately became a bit of a target of, you know, other people being like, why are you hanging around with the gay kids? So there would be days I would come into school and my friends would be like, we're not friends with you anymore. Just FYI,
oh my God,
we can't be associated with you. So it was like I was constantly in a really unsettled state. And my mom had a really turbulent relationship with her second husband, or my stepdad after my dad died. So I just don't like leaving myself unprotected. Or I find it difficult to connect with a lot of people. And the way I keep a wall up with that kind of thing is sort of like, I'll use humor, because then everyone feels like they get to know you and that you're the fun person and people enjoy having you around. But if they were to suddenly disappear from my life, I can be like, well, that's fine. They didn't really know the real me anyway.
Yeah, sure. Well, that's probably at least a very subconscious thought that you have while doing that. But it's not like that dissimilar for me, really, because I lost my mum when I was young.
Yeah.
And it does give you issues around like rejection and abandonment and stuff, because you just think like you build up this thing in your mind where you don't know when somebody's going to leave you.
Yeah.
And also, I think I just always, coming back as well to the gay thing, I always felt growing up that I was just never good enough. I always saw myself as second best all the time. And it would be reaffirmed to me through like a number of situations as I was growing up. And it would be from like silly little things, from like some girl that we met picking some boy over me.
Yeah.
To like more bigger things, to like comments that like people said to me as I was like in my teens and I was insecure about things. And it was always like I was never the boy at school that the girls fancied, regardless of whether I wanted that attraction from them or not.
You want that affirmation though, that validation.
The validation, yeah. And because I wasn't really getting that from anywhere, I think I almost felt like, again, a bit like what you said, it was like, oh, I have to have something. And I did use humour as like a coping mechanism anyway.
Mm.
I think you need that kind of validation. And then when you don't get it, it's just you're constantly like, okay, what can I do to improve?
Yeah.
And you're always trying to look for ways to better yourself to kind of get that validation from other people.
Yeah.
And that was kind of how, like, I won't go into it too deeply, but that was obviously like where my eating disorder and stuff came from.
Yeah.
We're going to do an episode on body image anyway.
Okay.
But so that was obviously because I always felt like I was second best. When I started losing weight, I was getting like praise and validation from other people.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I sometimes would use humor because I felt like my own personality and stuff on its own wasn't enough.
Yeah, yeah.
But then people would say to me like, you're hilarious. Everyone knows that. But they're like, we don't love you because you're hilarious. Like, we love you because you're you.
Yeah.
So when people can see that, that's obviously...
That's a great thing.
Yeah,
but it is the kind of thing that's where I struggle, because I struggle reaching out to people when I'm in a bad place, because I assume that they don't want to be burdened with my issues, because they're the reason they enjoy me is because I'm fun and I'm light and I am funny.
Okay,
so when I'm struggling, I'm like, oh, I don't want to dump this on someone else, because ultimately I feel like that will lead them to withdraw from me.
Yeah, sure.
I think the other thing is I find just the way I present myself is a bit of a mask sometimes.
Mm.
So like what we were saying about being gay, you have this thing of like, and people not validating you, people, no one wants, like people not fancying you and stuff like that. You think, how can I improve? And in one area it was using the sense of humor. And then in the other area, for me, it was like, okay, I need to be well presented at all times. I need to dress really well. I need to make sure my hair looks nice. And it's like, you know, it's led me to have a bit of a fixation with things like my skin. Cause I had bad skin in my teens. And so it's like this never-ending quest to have like perfect skin all the time, and wanting to be just really well turned out, so that at least if people are going to criticize me, they can't get me on that.
Yeah, sure. I think image is a massive thing that we use to mask ourselves as well. I think for me, I had issues around my masculinity, especially in like my late teens, early 20s and stuff. Like we spoke before about like the little androgyny phase that I had.
Yeah.
The thing is, the more masculine that I present, the more boys that I will get.
Yeah.
But I've come to learn that all of those boys that come, they're never going to be the right guy for me.
Do you think do you get that thing where you kind of then think, well, you wouldn't have wanted me when I was in my androgynous phase? So you kind of almost think like, well, then do you really like the real me or something like that?
I get what you mean. And I have had this, 100% had this mentality when I've tried it on with somebody when I was in that phase.
Yeah.
And then got nothing. And then when I've had like my glow up, so to speak, they've then tried to message me, and I'm like, if you can't handle me, my androgynous lesbian, then you don't deserve me my mask, butch, six-pack, famous comedian.
But does it lead you to see those people in a different light? And then even if you started...
I kind of get what you mean, but it's... I don't think I hold them too deeply to any kind of a standard.
Yeah.
Because, like, look, I might look at somebody and be like, oh, look, you're not really my type. And then they have a glow up and I'm like, oh, he's looking good. Like, yeah, it's kind of nature. Like, you're attracted to what you're attracted to. But I just felt like none of these men would have been right for me anyway, because they're getting attracted to somebody who I wasn't. Mm. And I mean, I wouldn't say I'm an overtly feminine person, but I wouldn't say I'm overtly masculine either.
Yeah.
And I think I have days where I swing between the both.
Yeah. As everyone should, I believe.
Yeah. I mean, I 100% believe that gender is a spectrum.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is why I just think the term gender fluid is almost like applicable to everyone.
Yeah.
So yeah, and I just think that like when you wear a mask and when you present as anything other than that is like your authentic self, then the people that you attract are never going to be right for you because they're falling for somebody that is fake.
Yeah.
But also, I realised that not only would it not work in with them towards me, it wasn't working with me, like my attraction towards them. Mm. I was like, oh, because you're attracted to this person that I'm presenting, you're not the guy I want either, because the guy I want loves me for me. You
want to be able to be all versions of yourself 100%. With that person. And it will become...
100%.
It becomes exhausting after a while because you don't want to be... in a situation where every day you wake up and you have to be like, okay, I need to be, I have to be this version of myself.
Totally, totally, yeah.
I had that with like friendships, or not so much friendships, but like trying to find who I was or like discover like your identity, especially in like gay London, you know, where there's quite distinct scenes and that kind of thing. And I would go through phases where I was like, okay, so am I like a Soho person? Is it like, you know, like perfectly manicured, always like really well put together? And then I sort of, when I started working at QX and stuff, and I was going out on the East scene and that kind of thing, and got heavy into sort of like the East Block crowd and everything like that. And I would be wearing loads of black all the time and like listening to techno and stuff. And there's part of me that did enjoy that, but it wasn't all that I was. Whereas some of the people that I was hanging out with, that like, that was their whole identity. That's all they listen to, that's all they they liked dresses. And some days I would almost feel like a bit of like, you know, that show Alias, where she's like a different costume and a different wig all the time. I was like, which person am I going to be today? And some of that is fun. I like the freedom to change it up. But I don't like the feeling that you would have to like change your identity to hang out with certain groups of people.
Totally.
I like getting dressed in like whatever character I want to be for myself that day, just because I like the fun, the visuals of it.
Yeah, but be able to fit in with your friends, however you're presenting or however you're dressed. Yeah, yeah, totally.
And that's another thing that I feel like I'm getting better with as I get older.
Yeah, like I think a lot of it does come with age. And I was thinking this as well. I was like, it's almost like when you're born, right? You have your childhood, and then you have the shit that like causes these kind of issues. Mm. But then it's like as you're getting older, it's almost like every little thing that you're doing is just another little test. And as you're getting older, it's like the less and less you care, and the more authentic you can be, and the more comfortable you can be in your own skin.
Yeah, a lot less of a people pleaser, I think.
Totally, because you realize how exhausting it is, and eventually that becomes more tiring than pretending to be somebody else, you know?
Yeah. I think that's what's been nice about, I hate to say this, it's been nice about the pandemic, because that's a really weird flex, but what's been nice about this last year or so...
The panoramic.
Is that the pancetta. the people that...
The pansexual.
That were maybe in my life that were left over from, you know, working at QX, where you have to know lots of like promoters and DJs and club people and stuff like that. There were sort of some people that were in my life as... you know, friendships, but not really real friendships, and maybe people that I wasn't 100% myself around.
Yeah.
And in the last like year and a half, those people have kind of fallen away.
Sure.
And it's not in like a resentful kind of way or anything like that, not acrimonious. It's just we weren't necessarily in each other's lives for like a real reason. It was just by proximity to each other.
Yeah. And I think that's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
I think that's perfectly fine, because you've got to have friends that you make from the club scene, and you're going to have friends that, you know, you might, you pick up from circumstantially.
Yeah.
And I think when them circumstances change, to like just let that go is kind of sometimes necessary for both of you.
Yeah, and it's just helped me, the people that I have retained in my life,
yeah.
I feel like I've got people from different eras of my life, and the ones that were real friendships have sort of kept along for the ride, you know, or they're people that I am still in touch with.
Yeah, totally.
Like on my birthday, you met the friends that were there. I think each of those are I met them at different times in my life, very specific, like different jobs or different times or different eras. And I knew lots of people in those periods of time, but those people are the people that have stuck around. And not in like this, you've stuck around, so you earned my friendship. It's just, we stayed in touch. We kept talking to each other no matter what our circumstances or locations were.
Yeah, but that's the thing. When it's real, it's kind of effortless.
Yeah.
You know, and it's two ways because both people want to make the effort.
Mm.
But I'm just thinking about ways that like we can help ourselves live more authentically, and we can kind of put their masks down sooner. Mm. I read once in a book that said, I thought this was quite intelligent. It was describing like your core gifts, and it said that your core gifts come from your vulnerabilities. So for example, an example of that would be like, a lot of people might think that I'm too sensitive. And my sister has said that to me before. My dad has said that to me before. But then what I realise is that sensitivity is my gift, because I'm not flippant with other people's feelings.
Yeah.
I'm quite considerate with how I make people feel.
Quite empathic.
Yeah, and I check up on my friends when I feel like they're going through stuff, and when I feel like they have bad mental health, and I treat people with consideration in that respect, especially to like their mentalities and stuff and their emotions.
Yeah.
And I consider myself a good friend because of that. So that's kind of one way in which your vulnerabilities can manifest into like a core gift. And it says that the more you lean into that and the more you let that side of you show, the more authentic people will just be attracted to you.
Yeah.
So it's going to be different for each kind of person. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. One important thing that I have learned is to try and not be all things to everyone.
Okay.
Because I,
how do you mean?
Well, because I am I like to be liked. I think most people do, and because I, you know, I do have a level of insecurity about myself, particularly based on all the stuff I've just talked about before. So I do enjoy being liked, and once I'm liked by someone, I feel the need, or I used to very much feel the need to deliver or like, you know, give them.
Yeah, you're almost like, you're like, oh, I think they like me, now I'm gonna prove that there is a reason to like me, kind of thing. Yeah.
And you know, and they would all have different things that they liked about you, or you would you'd want to be the thing that that person liked.
Yeah, totally.
So I, you know, with men, like if they were attracted to me, I'd want to be the guys that would like me because I was sort of slimmer and blonde and twinky, and that like I'd want to be that. But then I'd also want to be masculine and like have the guys that vibe off the beard and everything like that.
Yeah,
and
sure.
The body hair and that kind of thing, you know, like then I'd want to be that as well. And then I'd want to be trendy, and then I'd want to be like the boy next door and everything. And it was, you can't be all of those things. It's impossible.
Of course.
And I was like, I would have to think to myself, like, who do you want to be?
Who do you want,
who
to,
do you want
be?
To be?
Who
and focus on that.
Yes.
And then the people that enjoy that will be the people that are attracted to you. The people that you, or your friend, attracted
in. Or the friends that stick around.
Yeah, like a pull, will be pulled towards you. Mm. Because like we were saying before, if you're wearing this mask, it becomes exhausting, and you're performing basically. Mm. And then it's also not fun for that person, because that person really never gets to know a real person.
No, and do you know what it does as well? It creates like a barrier between you and other people. And people, like you say, they feel like they can't get to know you.
Yeah.
And that's when I think people get like fake vibes from people, when sometimes it's like they might not necessarily be a fake person, but they're just wearing a mask to cover certain insecurities.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very that.
Well, that was a lovely little discussion. Shall we move on to some confessions?
Yes. Are these our final confessions?
These are our final confessions of season 3.
Woo!
We did get some good ones, I'm not going to lie.
Oh, great.
We won't have enough time to do them all. We won't really, but I'm going to just post all, even the ones that we don't say on the show, I'm going to start posting them to Instagram.
Yeah.
But if not, then we've got some for...
In the can for...
Yeah, either like for next season, or we might do like a members episode while we're on a break.
Okay.
just to so our members have still got like some content. Don't want no sexy babes going without it.
Want to keep you well fed.
Okay, so this week's confessions.
Oh.
What was that?
I think that was my fanfare.
Oh, okay. I was getting like Hunchback of Notre Dame vibes. Like, they had to have like really like screeching.
I thought that was like someone having a baby. And I was like, did that have a Hunchback? No. I used to love that bit at the beginning where she's running from the guy with the horse.
Why?
I don't know. Me and my sister used to reenact it with one of her baby dolls. And Christina would like wrap herself in a cloak and run across her bed. And then I would push her over.
Oh,
happy memories.
Anyway. So this first confession comes all the way from Australia.
Ooh.
And
please.
They say that they have been having sex with a high member of Australian Parliament for 3 years. Do you think that means that they're high up or just high?
Isn't crystal meth quite big in Australia?
Is it? It probably costs about fucking 700.
Free mortgage, yeah. So yeah. They have to be a member of parliament to even...
£700 a pipe. I don't. How do you buy it? Buy the pipe? I don't know.
I don't know. What is it? Is it coming a powder?
No.
Crystal users, let us know.
Well, no, it's crystals. I think it comes as
in crystals.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's not it's not powdery. It's like rocky.
Rocky. Very rocky.
Bit. Oh, I was on it. I love life. Like this road is rocky.
So I wonder who it is.
Yeah,
there's some cunts in Australian Parliament.
Is
as well.
There? I don't know anything about Australian Parliament.
Australian politics is quite conservative at the moment. Like they've got people like Pauline Hanson and stuff. Who she turned up in the, I think it was the Senate or something, wearing a burqa.
The Kennedy Senate.
She turned up wearing a burqa and then like did a reveal in the middle of it, and she was like, that's how easy it is for Muslims to sneak into anywhere and steal identities. And everyone was like, are you for fucking real with
this?
Oh,
my God.
Yeah, I know. It's like, it's quite outrageous. And American, not American, Australian media is terrible because it's all owned by Rupert Murdoch. Well, a lot of it is. So a lot of, like, the mainstream media in Australia, like, they fucking hate, like, Meghan Markle. They're, like, they're still talking about her every day.
Get a fucking
life. Like, bitch ruined the royal family. It's really shocking. And it's quite
also,
openly racist.
That ain't fuck all to do with you, bitch. You live on the other side of the fucking world. It ain't your royal family. It's ours.
I guess it's because they're part of the Commonwealth that they feel.
Shut up.
Next confession.
The next person says, I love this one. I slept with my teacher's son and in the morning she made me bacon.
Oh.
Isn't that
nice? That's nice.
Went from... cum pig to dead pig.
That's quite nice. What a cool teacher.
Wait, so the mum and the son gave you a good pork in.
Oh my God. So wait,
that teacher.
Was she still at school?
I don't know. The teacher?
Well, any of them. Like, or is it like your ex-teacher from school?
Right, yeah, so I get what you're saying. Like, this is what I thought when I first read it as well. I was like, oh, wait, did you sleep with the son while you were both still in school? And you were, like, what, both 16? But it just says teacher, so it could be, like...
Could be, like, adult education or something. Yoga teacher could be anything.
Oh, that's true, yeah. I didn't
but still, nice
that.
Story. What a lovely teacher.
Yeah, I love that teacher. She passes the vibe check,
but the thing
for
is, you know, like, then if it doesn't go well with the son, are you going to have to, like, switch classes? Like, you didn't call Teddy last night. F.
I love how she just automatically became American.
I know. Go to.
Why don't you call my Teddy?
Call Teddy, bitch. You want a failing grade?
Who books me for kicking this backstrap bacon?
It wouldn't have been a season finale without Cher.
No. The next guy says they fucked a guy in the stairwell of the Empire State Building on a Saturday afternoon.
Mm.
I'm just quite curious to like the logistics of that one. I thought it was just interesting that like that I've been to the Empire State Building and it's constantly busy.
Yeah, and also like there must be it must be crawling with security.
Crawling with security.
So anyone was able to get past them. I mean, don't sell your secrets to a military organization or anything like that. You know, don't be selling them to Al Qaeda.
No, maybe sell them to USA's military organization so that they can up their security.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're walking up the Empire State Building and the stairs are a little bit sticky, there's your reason why.
Because there was a little bit of dicky going on the on the Empire State stairs.
It's Robert.
Robert's...
The whore is Robert.
Bobby. Bobby!
Bobby.
Bobby. Bobby. Bobby. I am a little bit delirious.
The next person says they, quote unquote, borrowed the housemate's dildo.
Oh.
Forgot to return it, threw it in the bin to avoid being caught. I feel like there's a lot to unpack here. First of all, fuck off borrowing someone's dildo. That's
What scenario could you have been so desperate for a dildo that you were like, right, we're just going to have to nip next door and borrow Esmeralda's?
Right, how... Esmeralda.
Hunchback of Notre Dame, I think, was in my head.
In your head, yeah. you don't borrow a dildo.
No, not even if you're going to put a condom on it. You just don't borrow someone else's dildo.
I wouldn't borrow a toothbrush. So I wouldn't borrow a dildo. Correctly asking, how horny were you that you were like, oh, fuck, man, I really need her dildo?
Is this a woman who wrote him?
No.
Okay.
No,
I was just thinking
guy.
Maybe if it was like a lesbian pair and they were like, you know, getting down to business, they were like, we need a dildo now. We haven't even got any cucumbers in the fresh box.
I mean, I feel like if lesbians were that pressed about being penetrated,
yeah,
they
this is
wouldn't...
it. They're not going to bother with that. They don't need that.
Like I
cannot think of any scenario where you could need a dildo that badly that you would nip next door and snatch it from your housemate's knicker drawer.
Drugs. Crystal. It must be drugs.
It comes back to Crystal.
It must be drugs.
Drugs. Nothing more, nothing less. Drugs are
Crystal
the best.
Oh my god. Drugs now available on iTunes by Jelay and James. Nothing more, nothing less. Meth is the best.
It's Crystal Meth.
And also, this the end bit is also killing me too, because it's like threw it in the bin to avoid being caught. If you had like thoroughly cleaned this and then placed this somewhere very strategically,
yeah, you could have gotten away with it. Run it through the dishwasher.
You could have got away with that, but the fact that now she's going to be like, right, so my dildo literally vanished into fucking thin air.
Or what happens on bin day? You know, they're like pulling the bag out of the bin. You better hope that's not a see-through bin bag. Because imagine it's just the dildo's like slapped up against the side. And she's like, well, how the fuck did it get in there, Sarah? Like.
But it's a guy. So it'll be like, Sean.
Bob.
Alex.
It's all covered in shit.
Right.
Yeah.
I just feel like, yeah, if you had like disinfected that, you could have definitely.
You could have literally done a quick dishwasher run.
Yeah, and then she could have been like, oh my God, like, how did my dildo get there? But she would have accepted it.
Yeah, she would have been like, I must have moved it while I was rearranging, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
now,
yeah.
Like, her dildo has gone up in smoke.
Yeah, and also, like, that's so feisty, man. Like, just because you were like a horny little fuck pig.
Dirty horn.
She's now got to like take another trip to Love Honey.
Or Hot Octopus.
Or Hot Octopus, where you can get 10% off their sex toys. That link is in our episode description. But the code is COCKTALK10. The next person says that they were dating a guy for 3 months and didn't know his name and was too afraid to ask. What?
How could that have just not come up as well?
Yeah, I don't know if I believe that one, I'll be honest. And like also, like you've been dating...
Could have had a nickname though, maybe, and that's how... It just went on for that long. Like, if everyone called him, like, Big Tasty, but his name was Edward. Did you see me scrambling for like words then?
Babe, I thought you was making egg.
Big tasty. Okay, moving on.
Really tickled myself with that. Yeah, I just think that's. But also, you've been dating for 3 months. Why haven't you been through all of his belongings?
Well,
yet?
Yeah, I would have taken. Like,
you'd have found a letter
when he had a shower or something. Could have opened the wallet and looked at a card or anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Then he comes out the shower. You're like, oh, well, hello, Mr. N. Cannon. Like, oh, Mr. N. You just don't know the full name. This one is truly iconic.
Okay.
And we do have some more details from the provider.
The provider.
My dad had a heart attack, sucked off the paramedic.
Oh my God.
Iconic. So iconic.
That is a... I'm speechless.
So I messaged Damien and was like, Damien, can you tell me some more about this? And Damien said, like, they came, my mum wasn't home. So, like, he means the ambulance people came.
Yeah.
My mum wasn't home, so I rode with them in the ambulance. He was stable, but he was having chest pains. And they took him into the emergency room. While he was being taken in, I went out and thanked the guys for their help. And then we went back into the waiting room. Then I opened Grindr. And, girl, there he was. 435 feet away. I messaged him and he said he was free for another hour. And we got to chatting, and within 5 minutes or so, I got to suck in.
I mean, but good on him for being able to, well, something to take your mind off things, I guess.
Yeah, that's it.
I don't know if I, even if they told me my dad was stable after having a heart attack, I don't know if I'd be in the mood for a mouthful of cum.
No, I agree. And also, like...
maybe after. Get his number and then be like, thank you for saving my dad's life, you know?
Sure. But also, could you imagine if the dad found out about this, the dad would be like, oh, I wish I'd died on the table.
I was on my deathbed, or I was being cut open so they could check my heart while you were gobbling cock in a cupboard.
Yeah. I was dying. You were also on your back. He was like, they should have just left me. Unplugged me while they had the chance. But so iconic.
But iconic, yeah.
So
I mean,
iconic.
Fab. Well, like, done, Damien.
I mean, your moral compass is skew with.
Yeah, it's spinning slightly.
Yeah, your moral compass has done a 1.8. It's squiffing out.
Clucking.
The next confessional says that I had an affair with a married Mormon. His wife found out and he got executed.
Executed? Are you sure? Or excommunicated?
Excommunicated.
Fuck's sake.
I was like, fuck. That was fucking deep.
Excommunicated. I mean, you know what? In the long run, it's probably going to be better for that guy. Because if he's gay... It's pushed him to, you know, live a real life.
And, like, listen, he can probably use a smartphone now.
That's the Amish. You're mixing up the Amish with the Mormons.
Are they different?
Yes.
Oh.
The Amish are the people that live without modern technology. Mormons are Church of LDS.
Oh, right. They're the ones that wear...
they wear, like, suit and ties.
White long johns and molest you while you sleep.
Yeah, you've watched Mormon Boys, haven't you, on Pornhub?
We interviewed him, I had to.
Oh, yeah, Kevin LeGrand. LeGrand Wolf.
Kevin LeGrand.
No, that's someone else. LeGrand Wolf.
What the fuck?
Kevin LeGrand's like a performance artist. LeGrand Wolf. Yeah, Mormons. They're the ones that have, like, multiple wives. So he might have not been cheating on only one.
So what is the basis of their... cult.
I can't remember what the actual belief is. It's Christianity, but they have like multiple wives. They call them sister wives, and they all live together. The men.
It's not fucking Christian, then, is it? If you've got multiple fucking wives.
Well, this is it. But they're massive in the US, and like Utah is full of them.
Okay. Cool.
And they do things like they're the people that do like missionaries, and they go and try and convert you and that kind of thing.
They do missionary. That's about it.
Yeah.
this guy says, I let the tailor at the department store suck me off while my husband was waiting outside.
I mean, hot, but you're a horrible person.
Hot if it was single, if you were single. Yeah. I mean, actually, it's still hot even if you've got
it
a husband.
It is hot, yeah. But, you know, like, you got to get right with God. You got to get right with God, or your husband at least.
You've only got the butcher, the baker, and the candlestick maker to go. Wait, the tailor wasn't one of those, was he?
No.
Oh.
Tinker, tailor, soldier, spy.
You've only got a soldier and a spy to go.
And a tinker.
What's that?
Well, in Ireland, that's what you use. It's a derogatory term for gypsies.
Oh.
But I think it's...
I thought it was Rolf Harris.
No, I think tinker actually means something else in the UK, but I'm not sure.
It's a paedophile. It sounds like a paedophile word.
Tinkering.
Yeah.
You mean tinkering?
Yeah. Ew, totally. It makes me feel sick.
Yeah.
It just sounds like you're playing with a really small... No, I can't.
Oh.
And then this person said... Okay, so this is the last confessional of the day. I haven't read this message yet because it's come through while we've been recording.
Oh, okay.
So this will be a live. Well, let's...
I hope it's not too dull.
It might get cut.
Someone getting executed.
I legit thought there was like a dead gay Mormon out there because I was honestly picturing like Handmaid's Tale, like him being hung. Maybe he was hung.
Wow. Let's hope. In the way that we like.
So Lloyd says that his friend split up with his girlfriend and then was living with him. He'd bust a nut every morning and I'd go clean it up. Right. So I was like, Lloyd, I'm going to need some more details here.
Like off the floor or off his belly?
He says he was always horny and made sure to blow a load before setting off for work. I decorated the room for him and put up a mirror on his wall that reflected his full bed through the door when it was ajar. Oh my God, what the fuck?
So wait, you're watching him have a wank?
Like, I'd stand outside peeking through and into the mirror watching him jerk off whilst doing the same. This sounds so much like a porn script, but I'm like, as if you fucking decorated the room like that, I feel like this is criminal activity.
Yeah, this is actually...
He'd come everywhere and just leave it till he got back from work. Ew, that's disgusting.
So wait, when... Oh my God, carry on. I just want to know the deets.
Straight men are vile. So I decided...
Yeah, I think this person's about to be more vile.
I decided... Yeah, wow.
You think straight men are bad?
I decided...
Fucking looky Lou. Looky Lloyd.
Literally me standing in the gay glass house throwing stones. So I decided I wanted to help out and be a gracious host by cleaning every inch of his cum covered sheets, walls, dresser with my tongue. I'd use it to lube my cock and jerk off or finger my hole with. He's now got a baby with my sister. I think we've reached a low point, and I think that says a lot for this show.
I think that fitting in to season 3, that is vile. For one thing, it's such an invasion of privacy. And also, how much, like, was the guy like, was it like a scary movie when the cum gets fired up and she hits the ceiling? How much cum was there? Why is it all over the walls?
Right, so this is my question coming away from this is, why is there cum on the dresser?
This is what I mean. How far can this guy shoot?
Like, yeah, who's just like, oh, yeah, look at them fucking sexy socks. I'm going to come all over this dresser.
Oh,
like.
I'm going to come on this credenza.
What's that?
It's just a fancy word for dresser.
Oh. Love that. Excuse me, can you not? That's my credenza.
Mind the credenza.
Credenza, got you. Yeah, that's absolutely disgusting.
I mean, do you know what? The thing is, that is like... I said he decorated the room to deliberately positioned the mirror so that he could see it from his room. That's like those men that drill peepholes into like ladies' changing rooms, or they have like one way mirror or whatever it is where they can watch like through a window while a woman gets undressed.
But also, it says that reflected his full bed through the door when it was ajar. Who wanks with the door ajar?
I wonder if this is a lie.
It could be a lie.
It does sound like a very porny story. But then, where does this? Is this from America?
But also, it's like, if you're going to write a porny story, what is the sexy part about him now having a baby with your sister? That's disgusting. Let's pick a winner.
I'm leaning towards the paramedic
Yay, me too. We love this.
Someone who can take a bad to take lemons and make lemonade out of a bad situation.
Yeah, take lemons and make a glass of cum. That's exactly what we love.
Well done, Damien. Thank you.
Well done, Damien. You will get 3 months free to Cocktails and Cocktalk members. Woo. Happy wanking.
Mm.
Guys, if you want to win 3 months free as well, then just make sure you get involved on our Instagram stories where we'll be asking for more of your confessions next season. We are coming towards the end of season 3. This one's been so emotional. We've lost a host.
Mm-hmm.
She's not dead. She's
the way we've lost a host is if she like was in an accident or something.
No, she's just moving on to greener pastures. Yeah.
It's been a season of change and evolution, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And we're really looking forward to coming back in about 6 to 8 weeks or so. We're just going to have a breather and we're going to regroup and
line up some really good guests.
Yeah, and I think it's time for us to again just sit down and actually get real about the show and where we want this to go and the kind of guests we're going to have on and the discussions that we want to have with them.
Show a little bit more of our, take our masks off.
Yeah.
Now that restrictions are loosening.
Yeah, love that.
Yeah.
Also, me and James, did you speak to your work yet?
Cut that bit, but yeah, I'm just going to do it anyway.
Okay, fine. So, and also during this interim, me and James are going to start a limited series YouTube series.
Yeah.
We are not going to tell you what it's about just yet because we've still got to figure that out. And
you are selling it.
But it's going to be funny for sure. It's
it will be funny. And we'll get to see us live and in the flesh.
Yeah, exactly. Guys, thanks for listening, and we really appreciate all of your support throughout this season.
Yeah,
and
all your amazing confessions and stories and polls and everything. Thank you for being so involved and just such a great audience.
Yeah, come back next season. I'm so excited about next season. I am, because I just feel like I'm just excited about the direction that we're going to take this in.
Yeah.
So, if you want to get involved on our socials, we're at Cocktails Cock Talk for our stories, and then at Cocktails Confessions, where you'll get all of the updates about the podcast. If you want an extra 2 episodes a month, then you can follow us on Patreon. We're just Cocktails and Confessions on there.
We've got a couple of video episodes on there as well.
We have. We've got a couple of videos on there. We're going to maybe be doing a few more of those. Definitely do more of those in the next season.
Yeah.
If you want to purchase any toys by Hot Octopus, the discount code is in the description, which is COCKTALK10. I'm at Jalay Slays.
And I'm at I Am Dom Top.
Woo! Thank you, guys.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Bye.
Have a hot girl summer. No, I saw this thing the other day, and it was like, oh, do you know what? Instead of a hot girl summer, why don't you have Pious Girl Summer.
Pious Girl Summer.
Pious Girl Summer. It was written by like this obviously Christian preacher, yeah, like maybe a Mormon just waiting to be executed.